listened to the Drew Marshall Show before?
George Bush is the Antichrist. Honest to
you
God.
You think George Bush is the Antichrist?
Yes.
Okay, so George Bush is the Antichrist because he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He's fooling people. He's a trickster.
Would you vote for George W. Bush?
Absolutely.
Why? He's the Antichrist.
I think the guy needs to read his Bible.
Would you vote for George W. Bush?
Absolutely. I hope he's not the Antichrist, because then I'm going to vote for the wrong guy.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
The Drew Marshall Show, right here on Joy 1250.
Many of you will know that song. That's a tried and true Canadian tune. First thing that comes to mind is Don Cherry, Rock'em Sock'em Videos, and him shooting straight just like Canadians usually don't. So it's always refreshing to have grapes shoot straight during Coach's Corner. But during his extensive NHL career, Valerie Bure played for the Dallas Stars, the St. Louis Blues, Florida Panthers, Calgary Flames, and the Montreal Canadiens. Originally born in Moscow, he was a member of the Russian national team, which was the only country to medal in Olympic hockey at both Nagano in 98 and in Salt Lake City in 2002. The guy has done it all, folks. He is a tremendous right winger. Valerie is married to Candace Cameron, who of course played DJ Tanner in the hit TV series Full House, and they have three children. First question right off the bat, Valerie, I gotta ask you this, man. How were the pancakes and cappuccinos this morning?
They were delicious. Well, first I got to tell you, wow, what an intro.
You like that?
Wow. You're boosting my ego, my goodness.
Well, you had
all of a sudden, I feel pretty good about myself.
Good. I'm glad I could be your therapist for the day.
I'm going to call you. Every time I feel bad, I'm going to call you.
Oh, man. Now, listen, a little birdie told me that you love to cook and that you're like a Food Network addict, a junkie. Is this true?
Dude, I'm crazy about that stuff. I'm going nuts. I think about the food a lot, a lot.
Well, that's classic because, look, so many couples battle over the household duties, right?
Right.
But if you can just take care of the cooking, then Candace can do everything else, right?
I would say yes.
How have you and Candace divvied up the chores? I mean, how much cooking does Candace do?
I'm going to tell you the truth, not too much.
Pop-Tarts and ho-hos and junk?
We don't carry that in our house. she'll pour a good bowl of cereal for them.
A mean bowl of cereal, huh?
Well, you know, she's got skills. You know what, though? She cooks some unbelievable tacos.
Tacos?
Yeah, that's her gig. So if I'm hungry and I don't want to cook, I ask her, honey, can you cook some tacos?
Oh, man. Oh, listen to her chirping in the background.
I know. She's not happy.
Tell her it's not about her right now, okay?
It's not about you, sweetie.
It's all about Val. Listen, I think that's one of the reasons I had kids was so eventually the kids would do all the chores, right?
Well, I'm hoping. I'm teaching them how to cook and all that stuff, washing the cars and all the good things. So hopefully they'll take over.
Yeah, your kids won't have any time to do chores, though, because I understand you're coaching them tennis like 2 hours a day during the week.
Pretty much. You know what? I love tennis. That's kind of my sport. And in the beginning, about a year and a half to 2 years ago, I had to drag him on the tennis court. And it was not very enjoyable. But for the last 6 months, they kicked in into some kind of a crazy mode. They become a maniac. I have a hard time getting them off the court.
Well, is that one of your hopes? Are you going to be one of those neurotic Tiger Woods dads that pushes and pushes and pushes, and next thing you know, your kid will be bringing home the bacon?
I like that analogy. Well, you know what? I'm going to treat them, I guess, in somewhat the way I've been raised in that side. I've been pushed pretty hard. Pretty much to the limits, and that's what you got to do to be able to become super good at some sport.
Hmm.
So, I have a very talented kids. I have they got gifts. So I'm going to take that gift and develop it.
Nice. Who has the better backhand today? Would it be Natasha?
Backhand. I'll go backhand for Natasha.
Okay.
But forehand, nobody can compete with Lev.
He's got the rocket forehand, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Not bad. Now, he's almost 7 years old.
Yeah, he's going to be 7 in February.
Wow. Wow.
So, but, yeah, the dude is, I'm just having so much fun with him, you know. Come out and play every day. It's 75 degrees, sunny, and
yeah.
We're just...
Okay, thanks for that. I appreciate you rubbing that one in, okay? The interview's over. We're all done. Goodbye. Growing up with the family that you grew up in, Val, was your dad a family man the way you are today? I mean, where do you get this drive to be such a family guy?
My mom and my dad, they got divorced when I was around 5.
Okay.
So... I haven't really seen my dad that much. He was not around except when I was playing hockey. But I don't know. I'm just always loved it. I remember being 16 and 17. I was telling Candace, I said, you know, my dream was kind of to get married, have kids, and have minivan and dogs. I love that part about minivan. But I don't know. I just always loved the family and kind of was a family man.
Yeah. Well, your dad, his name was Vladimir, is that right?
Yeah.
He was a big-time swimmer, 68, 72, 76 Olympic Games?
Yep, that's about right. And then, you know, now he's working with the New Jersey Devils for the last, I want to say, 6-7 years. He won with that team, I think, 2 or 3 Stanley Cups. So.
What does he do with the Devils?
He's a strength and conditioning coach.
Okay.
Yeah. So... He's just been doing awesome.
Now, with your dad, your mom and dad divorcing when you were 5, I think you said, is that right?
Yep.
Did you still maintain a fairly close relationship with your dad, or was it distant?
Like my mom ever said, you know, you guys cannot see your dad. She always helped us to see him anytime we got a chance, but we got just so busy because we go to school... We go to the practice, we come home, we have about, you know, a couple hours to do our homework, eat, and we went right to bed. So we didn't really see that many friends, and, you know, since Dad didn't live with us, we didn't really have a chance to see him that much.
Right, right. Well, with your dad being the big swimming star, did that make much of a difference in how you and Pavel grew up, you know, having a famous father?
Not a famous father. I think he's, you know, he's... A little later in our lives, when we were probably 10, 11, 12, he got fairly involved with us physically, meaning he was training us, and, you know, I got to give him credit for that because he's just, I don't know if I would ever make it if he would not be there for me and pushing me to pretty much to the limits. There's a couple times, you know, there's where you think you can't go and you just keep on pushing you and you keep on going. So with me being... 5'10", 170 pounds. There's not too many hockey players in the National Hockey League that play for 12, 13 years.
No.
So I'm kind of fortunate and thankful to him for that.
5'10". Now, Doug Gilmore, is he about your height?
Yeah, he's 5'10". I think he's a little bit bigger. I think he's around 190.
Right.
But he's about my size.
Yeah, I saw him. He came up to Teen Ranch, I think last year he was up visiting us, and he's up to about 320 now. No, I'm kidding. Val, do you get back to Russia very often?
You know what? We go there every summer pretty much. I still love it. I would like my kids to... my kids and my wife to learn Russian.
You got an uphill battle with Candace learning Russian, I think, right?
Oh, man. But you know what? It's so funny because every time we go to Russia, we sit down and start to talk, and, you know, we talk Russian, and she just sits there and doesn't understand. And she, you know, promised me every time, man, I'm going back to the U.S., and I'm learning Russian.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She never does.
No, she never does.
Drew, he's telling all my secrets.
Oh, come on. Listen to her. Chirping again.
Oh, no. Will you stop? Leave the room already.
She knows I got dirt on her. That's why.
Yeah,
we are on the phone with Valerie Bure, of course, NHL sensation. When you were growing up, Val, did you want to leave Russia? Like, was that your dream? Because sometimes we got the impression that, oh, it was so bad to live over there, and everybody just wanted to come over here to America. And I don't know, was that what was going through your head?
Well, definitely not. Was it bad to live? Yeah, it was. Did we know any different? No. So in that case, my dream was I was playing for Red Army Juniors at that time, and my goal was, you know, to go to make a Red Army team, play for a national team, and then one day I win the Olympic gold medal. So that was kind of where what stage we was at. And then as we got older, a few players starting to leave and play in a National Hockey League, and that became my dream. So my dreams or my destinations switched.
Hmm.
So once I got around 15, 16, that's where I started to think about NHL, and at 17, we left and we came to North America.
So you first came over to North America when you were about 17,
mm-hmm.
and I guess your brother was getting signed with the Canucks, is that right?
Right. He was...
In 91 he got signed, I think.
Yes. That's when we left, 91, and he signed a contract with Vancouver Canucks, and I went to play to Spokane, Washington. I played in Spokane for about 2.5 years. Meanwhile, I got drafted, and then from there, I went in to play for Montreal, and that's kind of where my career started.
Every time I think of the Spokane Chiefs, I think of the movie Slapshot, which is not necessarily a good thing that comes to mind. So
that's a good movie.
So the break into the NHL comes with the Montreal Canadiens, and of course, you know, you're just walking into a pressure cooker there. Talk about pressure on the players to perform. I mean, Toronto and Montreal, I think, are two markets that are just intense. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, it's a really toss-up. There's so much pressure, obviously, you know, TV, radio, newspapers, that's all they talk about pretty much, hockey. But to play hockey, I don't know if there's a better place.
Really?
Toronto, yeah. I mean, I played 3 years in Florida, and that was great living because, you know, you were in the shorts all day long.
Yeah.
But to the atmosphere, the feel of it, it's something phenomenal, I tell you. I love going to play in Toronto. I love going to play in Montreal. And another city that I love playing is New York.
Yeah.
So well, those three cities are just outstanding.
Canadians, Flames, Panthers, Blues, Stars. Now, the Kings, did you actually play a game, or was the injury thing starting to kick in then?
I didn't play a regular season game. What happened is I started my back starting to hurt in training camp. So the last preseason game, I hurt my back.
Oh, man.
And that was supposed to take, you know, a week or two, and it didn't go away, and it just continued. And then they found there was something wrong with my hip, and I ended up having two surgeries, one on my back first in December, and then in January I had it on my hip.
And then no more NHL? Is that how it goes? I mean, these were career-ending injuries?
Well, you know what? I don't think it's a career-ending injuries. I mean, I feel great right now. And I could easily play, and especially with the way the rules are now, they changed.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as physical. So hold on, are you starting to allude to the fact that you might make the big comeback?
You know what? No.
Okay.
Let me think about it, but no.
No, definitely not. So you're done with the NHL?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done with NHL. You know, last few years, it was really tough, meaning, like we start our conversation, is I'm a family man, and I really love being at home. I never like traveling, being away from my family. So that was kind of the biggest thing for me when I played in National Hockey League. I love playing hockey. I think it was just phenomenal sport.
Mm.
But to being away from the family, I mean, you pay the price, but that's okay. So I think I just had enough, and now I just want to concentrate on something new.
Good for you. And from one dad to another, there's enough fathers out there that are screwing up their families, and they're just not even around, and they just don't care. So from one dad to another who's trying my hardest to do the right thing, good for you for stepping up to the plate, man.
Thank you.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of little stupid trivia questions that you probably get asked by sports interviewing guys, okay? And I'm not one of them, so I'll just get through these as quick as possible. The toughest goalie to slip one past?
Hasek.
Hasek. And if you were to smoke them, where would you go?
Five-fold.
Yeah?
No.
Okay. Easiest goalie. Like, just, you know, you'd almost score and then giggle.
Wow. That's an interesting one. Well, you know what? It's tough. I got to go way back. There's no goalie in the NHL that you score and you giggle. And this is NHL.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So nobody.
Nobody.
Okay. Very politically correct.
I'll laugh at it because, you know, I'm happy, but I'm not going to giggle and say, wow, that was easy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Dirtiest player you've ever played against?
Dirtiest player? Perhaps. Gino Ožek.
Oh, yeah? Well, you just...
He's the funniest. He's, you know, he just comes up and does stuff. It's great. It's great. I love that guy. I mean, he's a good friend of ours.
But he liked to use the lumber a little bit, did he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who is the chirpiest player, the mouthiest?
Sean Avery. Yeah.
Even worse than Darcy Tucker?
Yeah. I know. You thought it doesn't get any worse.
No.
I play against Darcy in, I play against him in juniors. Then I played with him in Montreal. He was in the training camps and stuff. And then he got called up. And then he got traded. So I know Darcy pretty good. But, Sean Avery will beat him on that.
Okay. Final one, fastest. Other than you, who was the fastest?
By far, my brother. Nobody comes close.
Pavel Bure.
I mean, you have not... I mean, there's nobody is as fast as he is.
Now, do you remember Mike Gardner?
Yeah. I played against him.
Well, Mike won the fastest guy in every, what do they call it, the skills competition. He won it every year.
I know. You know what about my brother? Is he's, I think, the fastest he would be. The fastest is different because when you go on that All-Star game, you're doing a lap.
Right.
Well, this one, and you know, you never do a lap during the game.
Well, Rick Vive used to do that. He would just cruise around waiting for a pass,
which is not a bad thing.
No.
If you score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
But my brother, he will be standing, for example, on the red light, and from that stop, he would take off, and nobody would ever catch him. It's just that fast. I mean, his legs are huge, and he's very athletic, and the way he could skate, he actually worked on his skating for about 3 years with a coach, where the coach would videotape him and use it, watch it on TV, and just correct him all the time. So that has to do a lot with it. But he was phenomenal.
Very cool, very cool, folks. We are on the phone with one of the quickest right wingers out there, Valerie Bure. Valerie, in 1994, you had just been drafted by the Canadiens. Tell us what happened while you were playing at this Los Angeles charity game with all these celebrities. Something kind of life-changing went down.
It did, man, I tell you. Well, I think Candace saw something that she liked.
All right. Well, thanks for summarizing that.
Yeah, exactly. No, we were friends with Dave Coulier, and because, you know, he's playing hockey a lot.
And Dave Coulier, for those folks who don't know, played Joey Gladstone on Full House.
Yeah. And he basically was keeping inviting us to see the show, taping on the show, and we were just busy because we were doing a lot of workouts. We were have a workout twice a day for about an hour and a half each, and, you know, you got to rest in between, so there's not too much left. But he invited Candace to watch that game, charity game that we were playing. Luke Robitaille, he organized a charity game, and we were playing on it, and he invited Candace, and he said, you know, there's some Russian guys, maybe you guys can meet and see where it goes. So after the game, we got introduced. We talked very briefly. We exchanged a phone number.
Now, did she give you the real phone number?
You know what? She gave me her phone number and her check, blank check.
Okay.
I didn't fill it out, but I probably should have.
Yeah.
But
you called me at 10 a.m. the next morning.
Oh, there she is again.
Seriously. Do you want to pick up the phone? Maybe have an interview?
Actually, Candace is going to join us for our Christmas special on December 23rd. So tell her to save it for the 23rd, okay?
You know what he said? If you're going to keep on talking...
he's not going to have you on the show.
Why?
I changed it a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that. Something got lost in translation. Thanks, buddy.
So a day later I left. I left to the training camp in Montreal, and we were talking on the phone for next 2 to 3 months, and then, you know, I keep inviting her to visit me. I said, come on down, and then finally she said, okay, and I'm like, what? Really? She's like, yeah, I'll come and visit you. And then and at that time, it was a lockout.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So what happened is during the lockout, they told me, they said, listen, you're a young guy. You made a team. They go, but go play in Fredericton, which is a minor team. And I go, listen, I don't really want to play there. I said, you know, I want to be on the team. And they're like, no, really, you know, go. We'll still pay you money. Just go hang out there. So I said, okay. So I went to Fredericton, and that's where she came visit me, in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Wow. That's where all true love starts, I think, in New Brunswick. It's just a romantic hole in the wall. What a buddy, there's nothing there, man. I don't think there's even a pizza joint for you to go hang out at.
Oh, it was terrible. You know, it was terrible because I'm coming from Moscow. It's a bigger than New York City.
Yeah.
Then from there going to Spokane, it was a big shock. And then from Spokane go for 3 months to Fredericton. I thought, what's next? What is next?
Yeah.
So it was so bizarre, but you know what? It really turned out to be great. I had a great experience there, met a lot of good people, and the most important, Candace came visit me there.
Here's a quote from Candace. It was surprising how much we had in common growing up in such different places. We kind of have the same work ethic because we've both been working since we were 5 years old, which makes you grow up a little faster. You were working at 5 years old?
Well, technically, yes. Technically, that's what I've been doing since I'm 5 years old. That's my profession. So
you've been working hard at hockey since you were five?
Well, yeah. Technically, listen, I probably start working at five. At seven, I start to be on the team traveling, and then by 12, I was starting to make money.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time.
How long did you and Candace, we're getting a little personal here, okay, so it's just between you and me. How long did you date before you two got engaged?
But don't tell anybody, okay?
Okay.
A year.
A year?
Yeah.
You think that's long enough?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, I kind of felt that she was the person. That you just got that special feeling.
There's that connection.
Yeah. No, I definitely had it. So I knew it. I didn't have to think about it or is she the right one? Is she this?
Did it help that she wasn't a puck bunny? You know what I mean? Did it help that she probably didn't have much of a clue about hockey or the NHL?
Did it help? I don't know. I don't know if it did or not. I just felt it in my heart.
Yeah.
And that's all that mattered to me, so I don't know if she would have been a pug bunny or if she would have been... Well, just leave the room. She pretends like she doesn't listen, but she keeps...
She's a sly critter, this one. How did you propose?
How did I propose? We went to Europe, and we had a trip from hell. It was absolutely bad. I don't know if it gets any worse. And... somehow we got to Paris, France, and we got in a huge fight. And after that, we made out, and then...
You're killing me, man.
and then, but that's between me and you.
Yeah, just private.
And then we went for a walk, and we were walking, I think it was like 1 or 2 o'clock at night. We walk in Paris. It's quiet, it's gorgeous, and then I set her up on, it was a little bridge, I set her up on top of the kind of a railing and tell her the lies that everybody...
That she wants to hear?
Yeah, exactly. And then I proposed her. So it was really, really cool. It was somewhat spontaneous because, you know, I had the ring for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
and I was just waiting for the right moment, and that was definitely a right moment, and it was great.
Very cool. Very cool. Again, folks, on the phone with Valerie Burry, NHL sensation, unbelievable right winger. Okay, let's talk about this this spiritual stuff here, because I got a bit of an idea that this whole Jesus thing is pretty new in your life. New, but not new. And if I get this right, I think you... Did you not grow up Russian Orthodox?
Yeah.
So,
correct.
So what was your impression of American Christianity? Like TV evangelists with bad haircuts? I mean, what was the deal?
Well, you know what? When I didn't even hear anything about that, obviously, in Russia.
Right.
And then when I came here and I saw a couple specials on TV, and I go, wow, what a freaks. You know?
Yeah.
So,
I know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of where I was at.
Yep.
You know, going, dude, this, you know, this is not normal. So, and then from there, little by little, through Candace and everybody, my life changed.
Because, I mean, let's face it here. If you're married into the Cameron family, I mean, they're big-time Jesus people.
Right.
Like, Kirk's one of the biggest Jesus guys I know.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and I don't even know him, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Having interviewed him on the show and done the research, I know a little bit about him. Big Jesus guy. So you got the Jesus Kirk Cameron guy, and your wife's probably, you know, ramping up with the God stuff, and then her mom. I mean, you were dead meat.
I was. You know what? I was in a way, but I could not stand it. That they would talk about that so much, and I told Candace, I said, you better tell your family, and I'm telling you, back off. I don't want to hear another word.
It was driving you nuts?
Absolutely.
Why?
It was just too much. It was, I don't know if I was ready or was not ready for it, or my heart was not at the right place, or I don't know what it was, but I basically said, listen, enough. It was a little freakish. It was a little too pushy, too much in your face, which is, could be good, could be bad. Mm. And that's why I'm kind of being on the other side or on that side is I see that I have a two different point of view. There's some people that very in your face and they would, you know, be very aggressive with you. And another people is basically... sprinkle a little salt and they leave, and then they'll sprinkle a little salt a little more and then they leave, and you keep tasting that.
Yeah, that's kind of my style. I'd rather have that go down.
Right, and that's what I like, and that's the way I feel, and that's what I like to do. I keep doing that, and then listen, if you came back to me and go, I like the taste of that salt, give me some more of that, and then I will give them plenty.
Right.
When they're ready. But when the people not ready, my style of talking to people is I don't pressure them.
No.
I'll keep mentioning it here and there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Val, I think sort of a similar thinking in the Russian mindset, in the Canadian mindset, in the British mindset, the Australian. You know, it seems like the Americans are a little bit more in your face with the Jesus stuff.
You know what? Could be. But you know what? I don't want to, you know, stamp the American. But everybody's just got a different style of how they talk about Jesus, how they evangelize, and how they, you know, just bring people to Christ. And my position is that's what I like to do, is the people come up to me and say, what is it? What is that you have?
Right.
And I'll tell them. So I like that position. And then when I, you know, got into Candace's family, they are in your face. They are like, Jesus, hi, my name is Jesus, hi. You know, it's like, it's in your face.
Yeah.
And that's what turned me off completely. So some people could go, my goodness, you know, I want to be saved. Where I said, listen, I don't want a piece of that at all.
Right.
Like, don't you ever talk to me about it. But, you know, and Candace left me alone.
So she finally did back off.
Completely.
Good move, obviously.
Well, you know what? Yeah, and I knew, especially, you know, I knew there's, you know, there's something going on in my heart.
What do you mean?
I knew there's already been changing. I feel it. I feel that in my heart that it's been, my heart has been changing, and that's why I'm like, listen, just back off. I don't need you. I like, stop talking to me about that.
Right.
If I want to know something, I'll come up to you and I'll ask you, and then you can answer that to me.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of like relationship we had.
Hmm.
And
Val, was there a time and a date and all that kind of stuff that you remember finally going, all right, that's it, I surrender, or was it sort of a gradual, and next thing you know, you're a follower of Christ?
Pretty much gradual.
Okay.
Much gradual. It's just little by little. I feel like, you listen, you know, I really like going to church, and then why do I do this, and why do we do this, and all of a sudden it's kind of like little by little turn into, I'm a Jesus freak.
Speaking of Jesus freaks, were there any guys in the NHL that you knew were Jesus guys?
I did not know them while I was playing, but there's a hockey ministry, which is I got involved in last year or year before that. I think two or three years ago I got involved in. And, yeah, I was surprised to see the guys that came to the meetings. I was very happy and excited about that.
You mean surprised, like they walked into the Christian meeting and you went, whoa, you're a Christian?
Kind of, yeah. It's just, you get surprised, like you're hoping that people know it, but when they play in hockey and doing all that stuff, you go, you know, you just don't expect it.
Because you expect to see perfect Christians then, do you?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we all do that. We, you know, even the Jesus people, we put others on pedestals, and that's just stupid. I mean, it's a level, you know, it's a kind of a corny phrase. It's been overused a lot, but it's true. At the foot of the cross, it's a level playing field. We're all broken.
That's exactly it, you know, so.
All right, so tell me about this baptism thing, because I remember Candace sharing that with us last time we had her on a show, and buddy, that's a crazy story, man.
Yeah. No, it was a super experience. We were kind of sitting at home, just chilling, and Candace picked up a little brochure from the church, and said that baptism today. And she's like, do you want to go? And I go, sure. And I think I kind of surprised her by saying sure, rather than say, no, you go, and I'll wait.
Yeah.
So she was kind of surprised, and we went to the beach, and there was a lot of people, and we were sitting, and we were singing and worshiping, and it was just a great time. And then it came time to go in the water and get baptized. So there was two guys that were helping us, and we got in about waist high in the water, and I said a prayer, and they dipped me, and then they said, would you like to baptize your wife?
Wow.
And that was kind of cool. It was something new, but it was such a cool experience. And
Barbara said she was crying buckets.
Candace?
No, Barbara Cameron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she said when she found out about that, she was just bawling.
Well, I wonder when she found out about it, because I told Candace not to tell anybody.
Oops, sorry.
No.
Okay.
I'm, you know what, I'm sure, I can only imagine how, you know, I love Barbara and Robert. I couldn't ask for a better, you know, parents-in-law, and I'm sure knowing where her heart is, that she would be so happy for me.
How have your family reacted to this news that you're now part of the Jesus Club?
Well, I'm not sure. They really don't talk to me about that much. If they ask me, I'll tell them.
Yeah.
But they definitely see the changes. They see.
Now, well, you've said the changes about three or four times. What do you mean by that? Like, are you saying you're not as much of a jerk as you used to be, or what?
You know what? I don't think I ever was a jerk.
Oh. Well, that's not what Candace. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, yeah. Candace says I'm just Russian.
Right. Okay.
No, it's just, you know, little things. I don't think I was ever, like you said, a jerk, but just the little things that makes a difference, the decisions that I make, that, you know, it really is a life turned around.
as little as it is a difference, but it's huge.
Yeah.
Like I said, from my relationship with Candace. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's completely different now that the way it was before. Before it was great. But now we're on a completely different level. Now it's three of us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about God.
Yep.
So it's me, God, and Candace. So and God is in between, and we put him first. So our relationship completely changed versus we were looking at our marriage as just, hey, I have my ego, she's got her ego. Now it's all about him, and we got to please him with our lives.
Wow. Listen to you, man, and you sound like a veteran Christian, you know? Sounds like you're going to a good church. It sounds like somebody's discipling you.
Well, we have a great church. Bob Coy is phenomenal. One of the mega churches, I guess, but he's just a great speaker. But, I like to listen. I like to learn, and that's with a lot of help from Candace. It's just been great.
Val, do you think that guys have a tougher time in general, more than girls, buying into the spiritual side of life?
Yes and no, because obviously, as they say statistically, first girls in their house, first girls come to Christ, and then the husband.
Okay.
So statistically, probably yes, but there's guys that keep praying for their wives, and I know a lot of my friends that. Making a decision, and it's a tough decision, but it's easier because then they lead their family.
Right.
And I think it was hard for Candace when I was not at the right place and she was, and obviously I was still a leader, but it's completely different now than it was before, so maybe it was hard for her.
I so much have appreciated your time, Val. I know that publicly talking about the God stuff for many people is tough sometimes, and I don't know where you're at with all this. I don't know if this is uncomfortable for you, but I don't really care. My point is you
I like it.
My point is I appreciate your time. I appreciate you stepping up to the plate, as I said earlier, as a dad, but also I think you can be no better role model as a dad than to do the whole, you know what? Life is not about me, and I need to surrender to the Creator who made me and make it about Him, not me. I think that's the best way to role model to your kids.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's why I'm so happy that I'd be able to do that. Teaching them early, they have such a big advantage versus, like, me and Candace. For example, you know, even they go to a Christian school, and they learn about Jesus, and they learn in our house, the way me and Candace in front of them, and they see that we put in a God always ahead of all of our needs and everything.
Yeah.
So if they can start learning that at 4, 6, and 8, they'll be so much ahead of the game when they'll be 20. I'm just so happy for them, and I'm like you said, it's great that I'd be able to do that. I'm just. Thank God for giving me this opportunity and putting me in the position that I am.
Yeah, good for you, man. Good for you. I wish you the best. I really do. And I want your spiritual walk to be genuine. I want it to be real. I don't want you to get sucked into churchianity or American Christianity or Republican stuff. You know, you guys always blend politics and religion down there, and it's a weird thing. I want this to be a real, genuine deal for you. And as I said, as condescending as it sounds, I'm proud of you for stepping up to the plate, man. Good job.
Thank you. Well, that's one of the things that one of the big problems that I have with all Christianity is, you know, people that they announce and they're Christians, but they don't really walk.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest thing, I guess, in, you know, on my heart, that there's, if I say something, I got to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, good. What are you doing these days? Just before we let you go, what keeps you busy these days? I mean, other than the family and food and tennis.
Well, my, you know, Candace has been gone so much from probably September. She's been doing a movie, so I've been playing Mr. Mom. I've been at home. She's just came back from L.A. She was speaking there. She's been gone for a week, so there's not too much time left. I drop the kids off at school and come home, do a little workout, and then got to make them dinner and pick them up from school. So,
yeah.
But other than that, you know, I got involved. I have a lot of different business opportunities that I'm involved in, and just keeping myself busy.
I hear you got a good gift for real estate.
I do. I don't know what it is.
Well, good for you. Maybe you could share that gift with me one of these days.
I would love to.
Oh, man. Listen, great to chat with you, Val. It really has been a pleasure, and look forward to catching up with you sometime in the future.
Andrew.
All right, Val, you take care, and say good day to the missus for me, please.
Oh, I will.
All right, I know she's been cheeky throughout this whole time, but she's still on our favorite list up here.
I know, I'm going to have to tell her about for the next 10 minutes. What'd you guys talk about?
Yeah. I know. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you again.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, Val.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Valerie Burry, NHL sensation, right winger extraordinaire. Pretty neat journey, folks. Neat? Who says the word neat? Anyway, when we come back from our break, one more interview, and then we're going to open up the phone lines to you folks. We're going to talk to Jill Kelly. She is the wife of Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly. And what a journey these folks have had over the last few years as well. Another phenomenal story here on the Drew Marshall Show. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.